Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 15, The Descendants of King Priyavrata, Text Number 12. Yasyadvare Bhagavan Advaratma. Magoni Madhyantyuru Samapite. Sharavishu Dachala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Palam Ajahara Yasyadvare Bhagavan Advaratma Magoni Madhyantyuru Samapite Sharavishu Dachala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Palam Ajahara Asvadvare Bhagavan Avaratma Magoni Madhyantyuru Samapite Sharavishuddha Chala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Palam Ajahara Asyadvare Bhagavan Advaratma Magoni Madhyantaru Samapite Sharavishuddha Chala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Palam Ajahara Yasya of whom? King Gaya. Advare in his different sacrifices. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advaratma, the Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices. The Yaga Purusha. Maghoni, when King Indra. Madhyati, intoxicated. Uru, greatly. Samapite, drinking the intoxicant called Sama. Shraddha, by devotion. Vishuddha, purified. Achala, and steady. Bhakti Yoga, by devotional service. Samarpita, offered. Ija, of worshiping. Palam, the result. Ajahara, accepted personally. Translation. In Maharaj Gaya's sacrifice, there was a great supply of the intoxicant known as Sama. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantities of samarasa. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yaga Purusha, also came and personally accepted all the sacrifices offered unto him with pure and firm devotion in the sacrificial arena. Purport. Maharaj Gaya was so perfect that he satisfied all the demigods who were headed by the heavenly King Indra. Lord Vishnu himself also personally came to the sacrificial arena to accept the offerings. Although Maharaj Gaya did not want them, he received all the blessings of the demigods and the Supreme Lord himself. I'm going to read the next text also. When the Supreme Lord is pleased by a person's actions, automatically, all the demigods, human beings, animals, birds, bees, creepers, trees, grass, and all other living entities beginning with Lord Brahma, pleased. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of everyone, and he is by nature fully pleased. Nonetheless, he came to the arena of Maharaj Gaya and said, I am fully pleased. Purport. It is explicitly stated herein that simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies the demigods and all other living entities without differentiation. One pours water on the root of a tree, all the branches, twigs, flowers, and leaves are nourished. Although the Supreme Lord is self-satisfied, he was so pleased with the behavior of Maharaj Gaya that he personally came to the sacrificial arena and said, I am fully satisfied. Who can compare it to Maharaj Gaya? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskyatyade Satarne. This is one of the principal verses that Prabhupada's citing. Yata Tura Mula Sheshinena Chivdyanti Tatskanda Bhujo Prashaka Prahanarashaya Tendriyanam Tataiva Sarvahanam Atiteja. So yata means it's analogy. When you see yata, then we can understand there's analogy. Just as Turor means a tree. Yata Tura Mula. Mula means what? The root, yes. So the trees have roots. Yata Tura Mula Ni Sechenena. That means watering the root. So just like when you want to water a tree, you have to water the root. Yata Tura Mula Ni Sechenena Triptyanti. Triptyanti means to satisfy. If we actually want to do benefit for the tree, the tree has a need, it needs water. If we actually want to water the tree, then we have to water the root. Yata Tura Mula Nishechanena Triptyanti Tatskanda. Askanda means the branches, or the trunk. So we want to water the leaves and the branches, then we have to water the root. Yata Tura Mula Nishechanena Triptyanti Tatskanda Pujo. Pujo means the branches. Prashaka. Usaka means the sub-branches, including the leaves. Yata Tura Mula Sechanena Chriptyanti Tatskanda Bhujo Pushaka Pranaharatscha Yatendriyana. So if we want to satisfy the stomach, give life to the body, or if we want to give life to the body, we have to feed the stomach. Tataiva sarvahanam atuteja. And we want to satisfy if we satisfy the demigods, we have to satisfy achuta. If we want to actually satisfy the demigods, we have to satisfy achuta. Yata Tura Mula Nishechanena Triptyanti Tatskanda Bhujo Prashaka Pranaharatscha Yatendriyanam, the senses, Yatendriyanam, Tataiva Sarvahanam Atuteja. So similarly, by satisfying Vishnu, then automatically all the demigods are satisfied. So that's our basis of our Krishna consciousness. Generally, it is said, the living entity is what's called Griha Vratana. Griha means house. So we're all living in a house called the material body. And in the house we have what's called the mind, which divides up our house in many different divisions. And then we have our intelligence, which is less like the light in the house. We turn on the light and then we can see what's in our mind and we can see outside. According to how much intelligence we have, that's how much we see. So we're living in this house with a gross body, and we have lights and all the different things that are going on inside the house, the mind and intelligence, and the false ego that this is me. And everyone's trying to make a nice, happy arrangement for their house. Or, when the house is somewhat arranged, or even if it's not arranged, then we try to expand to our family. Generally speaking, people expand to their family, not because they really want to serve their family. They want to get service from their family. But in order to get service from their family, they have to also serve the family. So it's business. Although it goes on the name of society, friendship, and love, ultimately it's business. Otherwise, why are there divorces? If it was pure love, I love you so much, as they don't say, my dear girlfriend, would you like to make a business deal? Maybe nowadays they say that. Why don't we make a business deal? I'll exploit you for 20 years, and you can exploit me for 20 years, and then after we're done exploiting each other, we can find someone else to exploit. Is that a deal? Sure, well, good deal. No, I love you, oh, I love you, forever and ever, until I can't exploit you anymore, and then there's a divorce or separation. Of course, it's generally more subtle, and oftentimes in Kali Yuga it's even more gross than that. But basically speaking, we're in love with our material body. This is our deity. This is our most worshipful object. And along with the gross body, which we look in the, as I said before, we look in the mirror and we're enamored with how wonderful it looks and how wonderful even our own body smells. Everyone else may be repulsed by the odor emanating from our body, but we're enamored by it. We think it smells like roses or Parijata tree or something. So we're enamored by our gross body, and then our minds, whatever our mind is feeling, we must serve, whether it's lust or anger or greed or envy or madness. This is my duty. Yes, sir. I'm ready. Whatever it takes, I'm going to satisfy you. And of course, my vision of reality, that is real. And everyone else, they're a good person if they agree, or they're intelligent, if they agree with my vision of reality. Otherwise, they're fools and rascals. And ultimately, my false ego, that's the basis of my existence. I serve my false ego. If I can't become the Lord and the enjoyer in this body, I'll try life after life in some body to become the Lord and the enjoyer, to get on top. So we're in love, enamored by this gross and subtle bodies, and we're working hard and sincerely, where everyone is very sincere, servant of the gross and subtle bodies. And they'll work not only life after life, they'll work forever. We'll live miserably ever after. But my false ego will be served. And everything that goes along with it. One day, the whole universe will recognize, or all the universes will recognize, who actually is supreme. It may take some time, like eternity, but I'm willing to try. Give it the old Asura try. See, in America, give it the old college try. Well, in the material world, we say, give it the old Asuric try. But the R principle is, if we satisfy Krishna, who is the actual root, then everyone else will actually be doing the best service for ourselves and everyone else. That our first business is to find out what Krishna wants us to do. That's called proactive. This word used to be a catch word in ISKCON. Everyone, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm proactive. We get these catch words sometimes in ISKCON. Everyone goes around saying, oh, how's your proactivity going on today? Oh, we've abandoned that word, but we have new ones nowadays. So proactive actually means, because however, devotees in ISKCON start to use it. I think they got it from Stephen Covey or someone. But proactive means that before we do something, we make a considerate determination what's the proper thing to do. Because generally speaking, in the materialistic world, they never consider that they should consult with Krishna first before they do something. So they can do it for service. But that's our philosophy. We should be proactive in the sense that before we do anything, we should determine whether or not this is what Krishna wants us to do. That doesn't mean we go before Prabhupada or the deities, we bow down and say, tell me what to do. And then the first thing that pops into my mind, oh, it must be coming from Krishna. Just to cite a rather unpleasant example, one devotee who attacked another devotee, I won't get into the specifics, he went first before Prabhupada and for a half an hour was praying for Prabhupada for the intelligence what to do. And then he thought Prabhupada told him, go and kill the person. So then he went out and tried to kill the person because he felt he had already inquired and he felt he got the intelligence what to do. So that's quite dangerous, my dear Prabhupada. Please tell me what to do. Oh, I should kill him. Great. Exactly what I thought you would tell me. Just like one devotee said, last night Krishna came to me and told me that I should do this, so and so. So the other devotee says, last night Krishna came to me and told me I should tell you that that wasn't Krishna in your dream. So Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we have to ascertain what Krishna wants. Because Krishna is there in the heart, he's giving everyone, whether we recognize it or not, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It's not that Krishna suddenly pops into the out of the nothing when we ask him. Otherwise, he's kind of in the nothingness. It has nothing to do with us. No, at every moment, we're being directed by Krishna. As we were reading the Bhagavad Gita verse yesterday, either we're doing our activities materialistically without any consultation with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, or we're doing them trying to understand what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are telling us, and then the mercy of the Super Soul is he tells us, according to what we deserve, what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are telling us. There's not an independent Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and then there happens to be the Super Soul, and they're all confused. My initiating guru tell me, or my shiksha guru tell me one thing, all the other sadhus are telling me something else. Shastra says something completely different, and Krishna is going mad. He doesn't know what to tell me. He's so confused. No, whatever Krishna spoke Shastra, or his pure devotees spoke Shastra, and whatever Krishna wants to tell us is in Shastra. And the sadhus, they're the ones who understood Shastra. Living Shastra can tell us how to live Shastra according to what Krishna wants and what scriptures say. Similarly with Guru, there's supposed to be a oneness. If there's not one, that means one of them is not correct. Either we don't have the right Shastra, or we don't have the Guru doesn't understand properly, or the sadhus are confused, or we're not understanding what Krishna is telling us. But Krishna's message is one. Krishna knows exactly what he wants us to do at every moment. He knows exactly what he wants us to say. He's not at all confused. He's perfectly cognizant of past, present, and future, and he can reveal to us in proportion to our receptivity. And we can become more receptive if we utilize Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra and become thoughtful before we do something. In other words, if we don't know what to do, then we should become thoughtful and examine Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, pray for the mercy of the Super Soul, perform the activities necessary to become purified, to become eligible to understand Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and get the mercy of the Super Soul. That is, engage in devotional service with enthusiasm, and then Krishna can give us the intelligence or the realizations by which we can understand things clearly. And when everything is understood clearly, when we know what to do, then we can act. And then the result will be, we'll remember Krishna, because it will be an act of devotion. Otherwise, we'll be acting in so many ways, successfully or unsuccessfully, and the result will be nothing in terms of Krishna consciousness. Everyone may applaud, everyone may glorify us, we may even get our names in the newspapers or on Facebook, but our result of Krishna, remembering Krishna with devotion will be not very intent, if at all. Therefore, one has to follow the process in order to actually find out what Krishna wants us to do. And if we do that, then we'll become Krishna conscious, if it's done to actually please Krishna with the right attitude. Then we'll be watering the root of the tree. Then whatever we do will be beneficial for ourselves and others. Or, in proportion to our sincerity, as Prabhupada says, our sincerity following the process. I remember one time I was a temple president, 1970, in Austin, Texas. And, no, it was in Houston, Texas. And I had one devotee in the temple. He refused, at that time, everyone, every day, went on book distribution, including myself. There wasn't deities of worship or whatever. So everyone went on book distribution, except for this one devotee. And his determination was to stay back, and at that time we had sheets of paper with different types of recipes for very elaborate, what we consider elaborate preparations, like gulab jamuns, malpuras. So every day he refused to go on book distribution, and he'd take money from the temple, and he'd utilize it to buy ingredients and cook these elaborate preparations and stay back at the temple and eat them himself without even sharing them with the devotees. So I tried to give him a book distribution. He'd become very angry. And he'd take out a letter from Srila Prabhupada from a couple of years previously where it said, "My dear so-and-so, you're a very sincere devotee." So he said, "See, Prabhupada says I'm sincere. What are you complaining about?" I won't tell you what, I mean, his sincerity manifested itself in some illicit activities which obliged him to leave the temple. But anyhow, he was convinced he was sincere, and Prabhupada told him he was sincere at one point. But he didn't judge his activities, his sincerity according to his activities. Prabhupada only had to say one time he was sincere, and then he was free to do anything he wanted because he was so sincere, including breaking the regular principles eventually. But he was still sincere. So everyone thinks they're sincere. The person who robs a bank, he also thinks he's sincere. He's doing it for the greater cause of his family or someone. Two Gun Pete, who is famous for killing people with two guns, when he was on Lover's Lane and the policeman shone his flashlight into the car, Two Gun Pete shot him because of the offense the policeman had committed, and got out of the car and shot the policeman with his gun, the policeman's gun, in order to protect his reputation that he was Two Gun Pete. Needless to say, the other policemen were not so much aware of the sincerity of Two Gun Pete, his obligation to shoot people with two guns, and therefore there was a big chase. Finally, they got Two Gun Pete in his hideout. There was a big shootout, and before Two Gun Pete was killed, he wrote a letter to his mother. "Dear Mom, I'm actually a nice person. People just don't understand me. Your son, Petey. Please take care of the cat." So he thought he was 100% nice person, just some misunderstandings by others resulted in a few minor problems in his life. So everyone thinks they're a nice person, But actually in the material world, nice person means one who actually surrenders to Krishna. Then they become instrumental to helping others become Krishna conscious, which is actually nice for others. Everything else is just wasting the soul's time in perpetuating his imprisonment in the material world. Therefore, if we want to become sincere, that will be shown by our sincere desire to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then our executing it to actually with enthusiasm to please Krishna, with care and attention, Prabhupada writes. So that we have to become convinced of, that if we serve Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, we'll be doing the best service for all of humanity, for all living entities. And without doing that, we're doing no service to ourselves or to anyone else, anything of any value, no matter how much it may be glorified or criticized by others. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes. Did it say please?
Demigods.
Oh, the demigods, okay. I don't know if everyone is pleased. Well, there may be different reasons. One is that we don't know how to satisfy the Lord. Therefore, we're not so experts. So in the course of our trying to satisfy the Lord, we may dissatisfy others. For instance, one time Prabhupada received a complaint from one lady about how she met some of his Prabhupada's disciples on the street distributing books, and she felt that they were rather rude. So Prabhupada wrote back, said, you know, my disciples are trying to do the best they can to serve humanity, but they're not very expert, so please excuse them. So that's possible. We may try, but we may not be so expert. The other side is that we can't really say that Hiranyakashipu was pleased by Prahlad Maharaj's efforts, and therefore Prahlad was not very expert in what he was doing. But ultimately, Hiranyakashipu received great benefit, although he was not seemingly displeased at first, but ultimately he received great benediction, both from Lord Nrisimhadeva and by Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. So ultimately, the devotee judges benefit from the spiritual point of view, not from the material point of view. Satisfied, as Prabhupada said, that we can go out in book distribution, approach someone, they say, you know, they appear to be agitated. But they're really agitated. It's not that they needed the devotees to become agitated. They were floating along in bliss, and then they made a devotee trying to give them a book, and they suddenly became agitated. Their realm of spiritual ecstasy was broken when they met the book. They're already agitated. But the devotees are trying to give them something valuable to actually make them help them become satisfied. But they may not appreciate it, that's all. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Krandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.